Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wow. I don't know how you felt when you heard those readings being read. The gospel reading from Luke today is quite confronting. A bit controversial, you might say. And I hear that you've had a few sermons that have felt like that over the past week or so. That's not how people are supposed to feel when they go to church. That's right, isn't it? One of the commentaries I read said this, and I quote, "This is the raw, unvarnished, faith-rattling declaration of the realm of God to a great crowd of his disciples. Jesus speaks unequivocally of God's blessings on the poor, the hungry, the reviled, and the conversely. God's judgment on the rich and the comfortable." All those readings make you feel a bit uneasy, don't you reckon? Remember what Jesus said to those in the temple in Luke's gospel after his birth. He's in the synagogue and he says these amazing words, announcing that he had been sent by God to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, and sight to the blind. I would like to just share with you that this passage is part of Luke's Beatitudes. And you might well say, well, I know that there's a much longer version and a much nicer version in Matthew's Gospel. And you would be right. In Matthew, as it would be, he was speaking from a mountain. In Luke, he's on level ground. I like that. He was speaking to the people, the crowds of people on level ground. I wish our politicians would try that. That means a lot. A huge crowd of people who had come in order to be healed by him, and they knew that only if they just touched him, they would be healed. But also to hear his word. His words are addressed to the disciples. And so they're addressed to us and they're addressed to the church. Four beatitudes and four woes. The poor are contrasted with the rich. The hungry are contrasted with the full. And the weeping are contrasted with the laughing. And the hated and marginalized are contrasted with the vulnerable false prophets. Wow. Luke does not mention the four additional blessings that you find in the Gospel of Matthew. And I thought that I had those here. And I have. Listen to the difference. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account? Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Well, I'd have to say I like those much better. And I think probably that the response to the Luke Beatitudes as the disciples were listening to those words might very well have said this. Simon Peter might have said, "Are we supposed to write this down?" Andrew might have said, "Are we supposed to know this?" James might have asked, "Will we have a test on this?" And Philip might have said, "I don't have any paper and I don't have a pencil to write with." And Bartholomew might have asked, "Do we have to turn this in?" And John said the other disciples didn't have to learn this. And Matthew said, "Could I please go to the toilet?" And Judas asked, "What does this have to do with real life?" The commentaries say that we try so hard to take away the very point that Luke is trying to make by domesticating them and turning them into something that they are not. And you've probably noticed when you've heard the Luke Beatitudes and the Matthew Beatitudes, they're quite different. And people's responses will be, they sound much more spiritual. Whereas the Luke ones question our very lives and our whole economic systems and make us feel bad. So what are they then in Luke's gospel? Challenging, topsy-turvy. Jesus trying to turn things upside down. Things are not like Jesus invites us to be challenged. People are still hungry. People are still poor. People are still marginalized. There are still millions of people with nowhere to live. And we have people like Trump going to turn the Gaza into a great place for tourists. Doesn't matter about all those that have lost their homes. We'll talk to Egypt and see if they can take them. And Luke is saying to his disciples and to us and to the church, those hungry, poor, marginalized people, they are actually the ones that trust in God. Like, really? So people who have nearly lost everything, they're the ones that turn to God and trust God? Yes, they are. But this really reading challenges us and makes us feel uncomfortable, and especially if you're watching the kind of things that you've seen on the TV lately, you look at them and you say, well, this is terrible, but there's nothing I can do about it. And I don't know about you, there are times when I feel absolutely useless. What about you? And you think, well, what is there that we can do? And what Luke is saying to us, when you feel that helplessness, then turn your lives around towards God. That is what Luke is saying to us. And we would actually think that when you're poor and destitute and rejected and no place to live, that that would be the last thing that you would do. And there are plenty of people in our community that are doing it tough, that are hurting, that have things happen to them that they are hard to cope with every single day that they wake up. And Luke says, just remember that there is somebody who loves you, that there is somebody who cares about you, and somebody in whom you can put your trust. And in lots of ways, Luke is saying, hey, you don't really need anything else. Luke always tries to have a go at the rich. It's not that he hates the rich or anything. He might have. But he is teaching us something through that. So more than at any time, I observe, as you might also, you say to yourself, what's happening in our world and in our community? What's happening to our young people? Where are those places that we used to be able to go when we were kids? Whatever happened to those police discos that people could go to? Where are the places after church that young people could come and gather and have tea with each other and enjoy and go to the movies with each other? And we, the disciples, the church, stand in the middle of this, all asking ourselves, what can we do? How can we make a difference? That's what Luke is asking of us. How can we make a difference? And that when we're feeling most disillusioned and we say to each other, we're trying our best, that's okay. It's all right to try our best. It's all right to celebrate the things that we do in this place. And I guess that's one of the reasons that we're asked to make a decision today. But more importantly, Luke is trying to say we have to give our all, and it is only when we are poor and hungry that we are more able to do that. So that's the invitation. I invite you to pick up your little leaf. Your little leaf that picks up the readings from Jeremiah. And it is asking us the question that all of us need to continue to ask ourselves as both individuals and as a community. What is it you need to do to flourish and grow as one of God's people? I'm going to ask you just to write on the back of that what that might be for you. Have you all got one? No, Olive hasn't got one. Jenny, would you be able to get one for Olive? Is there anybody else who hasn't got one? So when we're looking at today's readings from Jeremiah and from Luke's Gospel, what is it that you need to do to flourish and grow as one of God's people? What is it that you might need as a tree standing beside the running water that will enable you to flourish? Write it on the back. And then when the offering comes around, I'm going to invite you to place it in the offering plate as your commitment to God. I'll just give you a couple of minutes to do that. Let's pray. He came down and stood with the crowd, hand over hand, reaching out for hope and his healing power touched their minds and bodies. And he filled their hearts with the words he spoke. And looking up, he said, "Blessed, blessed, blessed are those who are poor. Are poor, for you now belong to the reign of God. And all your hungriness will be filled." And he stood down and stood on the level, saying, "Woe to those who chose false praise. Woe to the ones who laugh. Hold tight to their wealth till the end of their days." And looking up, he said, "Blessed, blessed, blessed are those who weep and mourn. For you now belong to the reign of God, and your hungriness will be filled." And loving God, we ask you to accept that which we offer to you. We ask you that you might bless each one of us, that you have asked to follow you, to be your disciples. Enable us to give our all so that we might be able to call to task those who make the poor poorer. For those who make those who weep, weep even more. And for when we see injustice, that we might have the courage and the strength to speak up. This we ask in your name. Amen.